I'd also like to just recognize Kimberly Cleffey from the River Revitalization Foundation. You know, at some point, I think it would be appropriate for you to come before us, spend 10 or 15 minutes talking about the work of your organization and what you're doing down in the Commerce Street area. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. And finally, item number 12.
From the Director, Department of Parks, Recreation and Culture, an informational report updating the Committee on the Profitable Neighborhood Improvement District for Cathedral Square Park and Juneau Park. This item is also informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Mr. Kuglich.
Chairman, committee members, this item is for information. The Easttown Association and the Juneau Park Friends, who have on the table a proposal to create a neighborhood improvement district incorporating Cathedral Square Park and Juneau Park. We brought that information to you last cycle. We're here today to provide you with an update. Since that time, they held three public hearings to gather the public's input on their proposals, and both Kate Borders and Gary Grunau, from one representing Easttown, the other the Friends of Juneau Park, are here to present you with that information.
And I notice Lisa Hatch from the Juneau Park Friends is also here. Ms. Hatch, welcome.
You want to come up? Let's find another chair up here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As Paul indicated, I'm Gary Grunau. I'm a resident of the area. This is Kate Borders over there, and this is Lisa Hatch, who is the president of the Juneau Park Group. I have been working with them as a citizen, both the Juneau Park Group and the Cathedral Square Group, to try to push this process ahead and to move it ahead a little bit. And as has been reported since the last time this issue was before you, there have been three public meetings, one at noon, one in the evening, and one all afternoon, held inside of the district, one at the Miller Pavilion and two over around Cathedral Square. The response, we think, has been very favorable. Obviously, there was a misconception, and there was a need to explain to a lot of people what a NID was, a Neighborhood Improvement District. People did not know it was a public, quasi-public type of organization. It was subject to public approval, both of the Common Council of the City as to its formation, as to its people that are going to be on the board, and as to its operating plan every year. So we explained that to all the people, and I think we calmed some of the fears about that, or not fears, but probably misunderstandings. We also at those meetings got around to responding to some of the concerns that we had. I have met with some of the people from the park people, some of the members of that organization, and they were concerned about a couple issues that I'll report on in a minute that I think we've addressed. We're trying to do this on a very collaborative basis, working with both the residents, the businesses, and the county. But there is a certain urgency to keep the thing moving. As you probably know, Juneau Park right now in particular and the Bluff is in real danger of continual erosion. And every time we get a rainstorm, we're dumping a whole bunch more of mud and dirt down across the bike path out to Lincoln Memorial Drive. And I know the county does have a grant or pending grant with FEMA, and I think that this thing has to move ahead, and I'll explain why we think that in a minute. But first, kind of the results of the meeting. As we went through this thing, we had originally said this thing, the mill rate was going to be about 40 cents. We heard a little bit of about that, so we're down now that we're going to be able to do it for 25 cents. We've kind of revised the plans a little bit, and we'll explain that in a minute. That means that a person with a $300,000 home or condominium will be paying $75 a year to support the NID. It'll mean that the largest contributors from the business standpoint will be down in the range of $25,000 to $30,000, and the ones that we've talked to there are very supportive of it because they think it would be great for their employees and their employees who happen to live in the area also. So we have worked on the cost. We've tightened it up. We've explained what the NID is, and we started to get into talking about the design. And if I can bore you for 5 minutes, I'll show where we are right now, knowing that our path forward is to continue to work on the design, We are scheduling two more public meetings for August to present the design to the community. And just to keep getting people in, this wants to be totally transparent. It wants to be open, both with the residents, the business, and also the county, who we look at as our partner in this thing, so we need input on that. One thing that did happen, and I know that I was handed today an opinion that there is a problem with what's known as a long-term lease of this thing, which was in our original proposal. Also, the park people had a concern about that. So we have modified what we're proposing on this thing to what we would call, for lack of a better name, a cooperative access and maintenance agreement that would protect the county's rights, protect the county's interests, et cetera. We've also suggested that while the city has approval of the operating plan every year and as the and of the original, call them bylaws of the organization, and of the members, we'd also be willing to take that to the county. So the County Parks Commission every year would have the approval of the initial plan, the members, and also the yearly operating plan. Again, we're partners on this thing, and we want to work with you on that. Also, we will, as an organization, the way the NID works is we'll have a public hearing for all of the residents and the businesses to review the operating plan before it's even presented to you every fall. How a NID works is it's approved by the city in the fall. They set it up. And that's why we're trying now and we're moving ahead with due and proper caution, but also with some urgency, to try to get it done this fall. If it goes back a year, we're concerned about the bluff, and this work should really occur at the same time, especially in Juneau Park. If we're going to tear up the park to fix the bluff, we might as well do the whole thing and not tear it up for a period of 3 years. So if I can for a minute, I'll kind of walk you through the drawings and just give you some idea where we are. Then we'll come back and we'll sum up, okay? First, the Juneau Park, and again, if you can help me, I'm sorry, Lisa, you're going to be this is a prospect on the top here. This is the area in the bluff where it's really washed out due to that horrendous storm we had a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
We were down here. We're going to solve three things here. We're going to take care of the bluff with the FEMA. The county's going to figure out how to do that. We're also, there's actually no access to the lakefront from Juneau Park down to the lakefront that's accessible. The existing path that comes down the bike path is not accessible. There's too much of a steep grade when you get down to the bottom. So one of the things we're going to do is we're going to fix that path in our plans to make it accessible and make it at the right 1 foot every 20 feet drop so people in chairs and can get down to the lakefront in a safe manner. Also, we're going to put a stair behind the statue of Solomon Juneau so people won't slide down the hill, which is totally destroying the vegetation, is also another unsafe fact. We're also to make it accessible so people don't have to go all the way up to Mason Street to use that ramp. We're going to put a ramp close to the stairs that will tie into the other ramp. And the same thing on the bottom near the stairs, so you don't have to come all the way back to the north here to get on the ramp. So there'll be a stairway and there'll be a ramp on either side of that stairway going up and down, and also the main ramp, which is there now, will be made accessible. It's not there. And those will also be completely rebuilt, new asphalt, there's reason for some retaining walls, et cetera. Then as to the work in the park, I think you've seen this before, going back 9 years ago, or 10 years ago, but we're going to open up the view corridors for the statues. We're going to refresh, we're putting some new plantings in. We're going to create a plaza behind the one building that's in there now where you can have food service. We're not going to create a cafeteria or anything. We look at somebody coming in as a vendor to bring stuff in and things like that. To just make the park itself more beautiful, we're going to replace all the paths in the park, et cetera. So that is the preliminary drawings now of what we're trying to do here. But again, as we work through the next 60 days, we're going to finalize these and put a lot more details on it
But again, it's going to solve, the project would solve the bluff, solve the accessibility problem, solve the stairways, and also do a job in the park here. The little triangle to the north of here, to the west of here, which is also part of Juneau Park, and also we're including what's called Burns Common, I think up on Prospect, right in front of Lake Bluff, because that's the edge of the district. So the three areas, there won't be any capital improvements up there, but it would be part of the maintenance because the district then would pick up the maintenance on all these parts, okay? So that's, in short, what happened in Cathedral Square, and in Juneau Park. In Cathedral Square, there's been a change. Should I just keep going, Kate?
Sure.
This is Kilbourne on the north. I think you've seen this before, where there'd be a grove of trees along Kilbourne. Restore this to the square that it was at one time. Historically, going back to Jim Shields from HGA, who somebody I know is doing the work on this one, create the path system that existed, going all the way up to Wells Street here, make it a beautiful square as it was one time, the grove here, and where at one time there was a quasi-courthouse, that's the size of the original courthouse that was there. People, as we went through the public meeting, said that's kind of quiche and it was too much like Disney. And we took an interesting turn, and the architect now is going with a very simple open structure, white structure, that's open in all four directions, where you can have a green roof and green growing down the side. So when you sit in higher buildings, look down on this thing, you see a green roof which matches the green grass. That building, that white building, then would kind of glow as a jewel in the park and would be used as an entertainment venue. It's lower, a little bit lower than this even. You can enter it off the Kilbourne, and people walking down Kilbourne when there isn't entertainment going on could walk right through that structure. It's almost like a pavilion. They can eat their lunch in there, people have weddings in there, you can do all sorts of nice things. It's a much simpler design than we had before. And that and some of the things we had in Juneau Park has enabled us to cut our anticipated investment down by about 20%. But the investment that's now contemplated is about $3 million by the year. As I said, the resultant fees, or not fees, but tax would be a mill rate of about 25, which again, on a $300,000 home is about $75. We have not found any number of people that are concerned about the cost. Everybody from the park people to the residents are concerned that the intent of open and public access will all be maintained, and we intend to do that. And as we work through the process with the county and getting an agreement of some sort in place. So that's kind of where we are, Mr. Chairman. We would like to think that over the next 60 days, we could meet with corporate counsel and start talking about the outline of the agreement. We also get the drawings finalized. We got these two more public meetings that we could bring this issue back to you in September with a little bit more meat on it and maybe an anticipated agreement, that cooperative agreement, as we call it, where you maintain, again, all your rights, all your interests and everything. We don't want to violate any of that. We're very clear with that when we talk to the park people. And we talked to you and we talked to the neighbors. This is just somebody there that's a neighborhood group and businesses that are very interested in maintaining and improving these parks and the access to the lakefront and making it beautiful for all the citizens of Milwaukee County, not just the people who live in the district. Ms. Alders?
Thank you, Supervisor sure. Broderick. I just wanted to add that one of the complaints that we receive often for Cathedral Square Park is the need to rent additional structures, such as the trailers and the porta-johns and things of that nature. So this design would eliminate the need for doing that on a regular basis. Obviously, a major event like Bastille Days, there might be some sort of rental. But for the summer in general, we wouldn't have to have the excessive amount of additional structures that are a clutter. And they're necessary for the events, but this would help clean up the park, which I think is positive.
It certainly seems to address much of the
right.
public objection that I've heard throughout meeting with constituents and addresses it in a very seemingly elegant way.
Right. The back of that building would include storage, restroom facilities, as well as a green room for entertainers.
And a sound system would be under the grass to part of the hanging green stuff. So it'd be beautiful.
Correct. It would hide a lot of the additional equipment. So the scaffold that is erected at this point in time, that would be hidden as well.
Questions by Supervisor Jurczyk and Supervisor Dimitri Young.
Thank you. I'm just wondering, do we have any NID districts at all in our parks currently?
No.
Chairman, supervisors, no. And in fact, it was interesting. I got a note from some of my counterparts and from WPRA after the article, I believe, is in the newspaper. And just once again, it was like, you guys are being so creative out there. And I'm like, well, in Wisconsin, yes, but nationally it's being done in other places and things like this. So at the Park and Rec community is watching what Milwaukee's going to do with this.
Yeah, I think not only that, but I think a lot of friends groups are going to be watching this because this your editorial comment before that people are willing to tax themselves to take care of parks. This is an example of that, and I hope we do it thoughtfully and carefully because this could be a model for other friends groups to look to get don't how to do mid type districts. Thank you for your interest and your time that you put in this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I kind of asked some of these things earlier on, and I really appreciate all the information that we've got. We have had a couple meetings here. I guess I'm trying to think. Well, I have two things to ask. One is a technical question, perhaps for the attorney involved. Is the city of Milwaukee, will they allow this kind of taxing authority?
Has that they support it. So we have no problem. The alderman in the area wants to lead the resolution together.
Okay, well, that's what I meant. Verbally is one, words are one thing, actions another.
Yeah.
So, but you don't have anything pending there. Have you presented to them?
No, well, we will be going before them in September.
Okay.
Kind of on parallel paths of county approval and city approval.
Mm-hmm.
You can't
mm-hmm.
have one without the other. But we've got to work in both heading up November to get it approved.
And Mr. Chairman, thank you so much. I see that, like I said, you know, we've been informed a couple times of this committee, and I've always had questions, and I see this moving along and progressing. I still would like to know for the record why, for example, you know, the last group that was before us is donating a much smaller amount, the $100,000 for the stage pavilion. But for example, the Hoyt Park pool was almost $6 million, I believe, or $7 million in a privately funded partnership. I just don't understand why it appears to me like why can't you trust the county to run and do all this for you with a better partnership rather than you having to self-govern and create the NID? I'd like to get it on the record because
mm-hmm.
I have been, you know, somewhat critical, I will say, because I'm actually, on the other hand, while some see this as a new precedent that could be exciting, I'm worried about it. And I've made those comments before. I'm worried about, you know, sectioning off pieces of our park system. Like I've said before, Cathedral Square in this area makes money for our parks, and we're proud of it. South Shore Park in Bayview makes money and spreads it around. Because, again, you go to the near north side, I'll use, I can never say it right, Teton Hafer. yeah, you know, needs that revenue. And unfortunately doesn't have a NID or an organized group like this. And I'm not holding that against you. I appreciate everything that you're doing. But I truly worry that we start sectioning and siphoning off our money and revenue makers, and I worry about the rest of the county park system because it's a holistic, comprehensive system that everyone needs to enjoy. And that's, I guess, my question, Mr. Chairman, once again, for this group in front of us, is why would that route not work? Why can't you just partner with us? Why do you have to self-govern?
Can I answer a question with a question? Where would you come up with $3 million?
Well, I prefer you respond to my question first, and then I'll...
Well, that's...
Because I'm the committee member,
and
so
I think that's the answer.
Yeah.
I don't mean to be cute.
No, I'm just saying, I'm the committee member, and you're
yeah.
asking me to do something new here,
yeah.
and I need to ask that.
It's just that, you know, in the two cases you talked about, in Hoyt
mm-hmm.
Pool would not have happened if it wasn't for John and Tasha mortgages. I think they were $6 million of the $7 million. I mean, that's where he went to high school.
Mm-hmm.
The guy founded Cisco. He's a marvelous man, very benevolent man. He decided to swim into the story. Here you've got a community group coming forward. We need community support on it. We're not over that line yet either. We've got to get county support, city support, community support. here you've got a community group coming along that would say, we'll pay for $3 million to fix it. I guess there's no easy answer, except it's very difficult. I mean, I'll speak all day about the need for the county to have a sales tax themselves that will take care of our transit and our parks mm-hmm. work, but in today's world, that just isn't imminent, and God knows when it's going to happen, and meanwhile, the bluff's falling down at Lake Park, and we got to start in the Juno Park, and we got to figure out how we can get going down the road on this issue. So it's a matter of political times, I think, Supervisor. It's a matter of public availability of funds. It's tough out there. You know, people have to deal with this every day of the week. But, we see it on the other side of the taxpayer. So
I guess
it's just as long as the answer. It's there.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Do I still have the floor?
Yes, you do.
Thank you. And I understand about Falling Bluffs because I represent the South Shore area. And what we did was we creatively fundraised very small, modest amounts of money, $2,000. The other day we had someone donate native plants, actually, because they didn't have the money, but they had the plants. But we're not trying to, you know, own the bluff or whatnot. We're just donating the money, working with the Parks Department. Because that is the hurdle that I'm unable to get over is, and I don't feel that my question was adequately responded to, is what is wrong with still donating the $3 million and having it be a true partnership rather than you creating your own district. I just don't understand it, Mr. Chairman. And I've been asking it over and over through this whole process, and I'm sorry that the drawings are getting better and the project is progressing, and I want to keep asking it until I get the right answer.
Anyone want to take another crack
at it? Yeah. Let me try it again. The problem is it would not be saleable to the people that we voted on. Because the county, under budget pressure, has diminishing assets every year to maintain these parks. And whereas, besides the capital, the maintenance is picked up in this thing, and I'm sure it's the greater budgetary amount in both parks than you possibly could afford to put into it. And it just isn't possible to do a committing $3 million without taking care of this. It's just an impracticality.
Supervisor Jerzyk, you're anxious to see.
I know you're trying to get done, but I think there's something we're missing here. All of these projects that Supervisor Dmitrievich was talking about was a fundraising. They got the money and they did a project. I'm comparing this to a bid district, if I'm correct on that. And that's where you've got an ongoing revenue stream. So this is not just a one-time, we're going to do this one project. Not only are they going to do a capital improvement, but then it's going to be ongoing revenue stream for that because the neighbors in that area want to care for it. So it is a different model, and I think we should, of course, the devil's in the details. I'm going to want to look at what we end up with Port Council and so on, but I'm excited about it. And this is taking that one step further. Not only are they going to do the capital to get the money to do the improvement, but then they're going to have a revenue stream to take care of it. And I think that's the piece we're missing here. So thank you. And I didn't want to step on anyone's
toes. Mr. Borders?
Thank you, Chair and Supervisors. I just want to add in answer to you, because I completely understand your questions, and I think it's a really valid question. And part of it, too, is I think that when we go to, for example, a Northwestern Mutual, and we say to them, and this kind of has a two-tier answer, first of all, we're going to have to get bonds for these capital campaigns on the front end. So as much as we trust you, you need to trust us, too, that we're going to pay them back. So this kind of 30-year quasi, whatever we end up, maintenance and agreement, helps you know that we're going to make sure that those debts are paid. Mm-hmm. And it also helps us go to Northwestern Mutual and say, you're investing all of these dollars in this project to make the parks look beautiful from day one, and as you're saying, maintain them for a significant amount of time. And so, as Gary was saying, it helps us be able to sell that to them, because as much as we trust you, we need to be able to tell them that we're going to make sure this happens. And so that's kind of on us at that point.
I had a question for the director.
Supervisor Dmitrievich.
Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to speak so much, Mr. Chairman. Director Black, in the preliminary revision of some of these documents, and they're all in draft form, do you feel that the county will make more revenue than we're currently making? This will increase the revenue? I mean, I know these are tentative plans, but is this a better deal for the county?
Well,
we make a ton of revenue from that area, which we appreciate.
Well, first of all, I would just start, like, high level, if you ever want to just enter into a conversation about partnerships in general and where we're going with them, I think it really is a good question of what you're saying about what are we doing, because when we don't have the resources, what I would call our core responsibilities, and in my mind I've always thought that that we're responsible for the core and the friends group should take over the enhancements, mm-hmm. if you will. We're getting to the point that the friends groups and the partnerships are taking over our core. And that's something that I right. think as a body that should be your red flag. But as it was said, in these times, my responsibility is to leave this system in better shape than we found it. So to sit back and wait for something else to happen, I remember I was quoted in the General Sentinel saying, I hope we don't talk about a park district and a sales tax, and we're still here, you know, 5 years from now debating that. And now it's, what, 8, 9 years? And neither of those options has moved forward. So in the meantime, when the citizens are really standing up saying, we care about really what we value most, let us help you, that takes on all different shapes and sizes. Every single one of these contracts that we've brought you really has a lot of different nuances, and they're all very, the details are very different in each one of them. That's why I'm trying to bring it to you guys on the front end so that we're all looking at the contracts. So when you guys say, why isn't this in there? Why isn't that in there? That's what I really want. I don't look at that as criticism. I look at that as a lot more eyes on these contracts, looking at them saying, let's all think 20 years out. I was sitting around with the urban park directors, my 25 counterparts, and they were talking about partnerships and should we or shouldn't we. And I think Milwaukee's much more advanced than some of the other ones. And I said, could we stop talking about that, and could we compare notes on what your contract language that you use in L.A. and what you're using in New York so I can learn from your contracts? And I think that's where people are asking us for our contracts, because there's some things, and I don't want to go through the list, but when I go back with Paul Kuglich, I'm like, oh, I wish we would have had that sentence in there. You know, and so we're learning as we go, and we're teaching some other people about that. And I think with this NID, the reason we're bringing it back so many times is we do have all of these eyes on how does this work, and to have those clauses in there that we really have to anticipate the future on that. Are we going to make more money with this, to answer your question? One of the things I would say is the $3 million, and the chairman and I were at one of the public hearings, and there was some concern over just why was it happening and things like that. At the end of the day, if the $3 million, when we can bond again in 13, right, where is that money going to go? And we've got our list for the park system all ready to go. And, of course, you guys will be deciding where that's going. But if this happens, that would be the $3 million that could go to Tiefenthaler, that could go to Johnson's Park, that could go to those other projects that otherwise might have to go here, where they're bringing this forward as concerned citizens. Does that make sense? So I'm not looking at the revenue stream of it. Sure, on the maintenance side of it, if we get the language right, will we not have to spend our staff time there, and maybe we can spend it more other places? Yes, that's going to be helpful if we get the language right. But also on the capital side, that the money that might have to go out of our bonding can come out of their bonding, which will make our bonding money go to the places that don't have the wherewithal to do this.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Did that answer your question?
Yeah, can I conclude, and then
please.
I will conclude. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I understand that. I will remain, and I have remained open-minded to this process when I have a little bit more enhanced documents in front of me. But I urge my colleagues on this committee that we really take a serious look, because there's so many, like I said, there's other values that are not so explicit. How will this affect the rest of the park system? You know, the precedent and setting. The value of an asset. This is one of our most valuable assets in the park system. And we have to be good stewards of how, for future generations. And I just, you know, and I'm going to end here, because I remember a couple years ago, you know, I get phone calls all the time for South Shore Park Pavilion. It's a hot spot. Oh, we got to put a Barlotta Bistro and Grill there. No, we're not going to. And I'm not going to use this excuse over and over. Well, things look so bad in the parks that we've got to privatize it, or the county can't run it anymore. Why don't we take a serious community conversation and find a way to fund it and make sure that we can do it. Because next thing you know, we have half a park system. And I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to fall into that trap anymore, that because we're currently having a financial challenge because the failure of leadership in the state and previously at the county, that I'm going to start siphoning off assets of our county park system. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to sit here 20 years from now and not be, you know, and have different, and not receive the revenue that I want from our assets. So there's a lot of value here that we have to think about. And it's just, we keep getting in these boxes, and then I feel like we have to say no to generous gifts, and I don't want to do that either. So thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
I think Supervisor Dmitrievich seizes on the nut of the issue before us. I mean, this is what we're watching is a concept evolving and being modified as we go. In that regard, I'd like to, many of you have had the opportunity to review what Mr. Shopcom from Corp Counsel's office did in terms of analyzing the deed restrictions that were on this property originally. His opinion on this, I think, has modified, certainly, the original proposal for a long-term lease, and in some sense prohibited that, dependent upon, as Supervisor Jerzyk says, the devil's in the details here, and I think working cooperatively with open minds, we can achieve the intended result that we all desire through kind of cooperative efforts. But it's not going to be without bumps. It's not going to be without, frankly, this is precedent setting. And because it is, we have to proceed very carefully. We may not be able to do it within the time frame that we would all like. We'd like to see this happen tomorrow morning. But it's going to have to be a carefully thought through, carefully reviewed process because it is precedent setting. Because my guess is that if we manage this well, we're going to create a model for future activity for similar groups who want to benefit our park system without taking our park system over. And therein lies that dilemma that we as policymakers, I think, confront. So I thank Mr. Shopcom for his contributions. For those who have raised the criticisms, I would encourage people to continue to raise their concerns so that we can address them up front, incorporate them into the language that ultimately this will take, I think, I hope, and we will then proceed from there. But it's not going to be a process that is arrived at, the conclusion of which it was arrived at easily. I think we're going to have more questions to confront as we move through. And all working together with good intention, I think we're going to be able to do that and accomplish our ends. So, with that, yeah, Ms. Porters, you have...
Supervisor and Chairman, I just want to say thank you for taking the time to hear this and for having open minds, because I think we totally understand this is precedent setting, and we want it to be very successful. And I really genuinely appreciate your thoughtful minds towards this, and I really enjoy working with Sue Black in the county. We have a great partnership, and I think this is just, it is exciting to think about what it could be.
And if I could add one thing also, we want it to be open and transparent, as you said, Mr. Chairman, and want to create a partnership where the county isn't losing an asset but gaining an upgraded asset, which is really what's going to happen in this whole process. You're going to own the park. It's your park. It's going to be on your register, and it's going to be beautiful.
Thank you. Ms. Hatch, anything you'd like to add?
Well, it's a repetition. I just would like to remind you that we don't have the luxury of a lot of time. I don't know if you've been along Lincoln Memorial Drive, but when we had the downpours last June, we all know about the ravine problems, and then we had some more heavy rains early this summer, late spring, and in fact it required heavy equipment to bulldoze the amount of mud off of the bike path along Lincoln Memorial Drive. We had a light rain, just a very light rain, 2 weeks ago, and that light rain caused enough runoff down those ravines that they buried the environmental fencing that went along. So it's bad enough that our that things look a little bit ratty, and we're not trying to create a theme park. We're just trying to maintain a beautiful park that the whole city and our visitors could use. But we don't have the luxury of several years because we really will lose a lot of the park. Take a look if you have a chance. take a look. It's pretty bad.
With deliberate speed, but without haste, we shall continue.
Well said. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you all very much for participating. There being no further business before this committee, we stand adjourned.